you know, this next guest has been on this program before.
Right.
But it wasn't without a little work.
And Spanish has been on one of his shows.
Yeah, well, that was the one, that was Man vs. Food, right?
Right.
That was the original one where Adam Richman would go around eating food from different places around the country.
Yeah, that was his big launch.
In Spanish when he was cool and he had hair. Remember that Spanish back when you used to be cool?
Yep.
And you had hair and we sent him down to the Man vs. Food taco bus.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw him and thought we were sending him down there to start trouble because we had a little Twitter feud with him.
Right.
And now we're all back together again.
Yep.
And Adam Richman's had several shows. Now, the last show he had was on Fox. It was called Food Fighters.
Food Fighters, which was actually pretty good. I love food shows. And he had where he would have, like, home cooks come, and they would be like, I make this really well. I make this really well. Give them, like, a few different things. And then he'd go, okay, well, you're going up against world-famous chef so-and-so. Right. And they would come out, and they'd be like, I'm going to kill this person.
And I'm going to ask him, but how did most of the people do? Did they compete well? Because I saw some. Like, there's some of those shows where the people taste it, and then they pick whose they like better, and I'd see what's his name? The guy who makes the burgers, Bobby Flay.
Yeah.
And he would lose out to people, and I'm like, sure. See, they're all just regular people who know how to cook a little bit.
Well, it happens sometimes, but, like, people had certain things. So, like, if I was a home cook and you were a pro chef, and I knew that your thing was barbecue, I'd be like, oh, I'm not going to go barbecue. I'm going to do my Thai something, whatever, you know, some sort of Asian food, because I don't think you know how to do that, and I do that really well.
And Adam Richman doesn't cook. He just eats.
Right.
Right?
And as he far was as like we know, actor. But I think he can. I think
he's been around enough food now, you know. Probably knows the secrets to all the recipes. In fact, his new show is called Secret Eats with Adam Richman, and I think this is where he goes to different cities and then finds out, like, what the cool thing to eat there.
Right.
Like, you come to Tampa, everybody says Burns, but you don't really know that the best place is whatever. So we'll find out. All right, let's welcome back to this show Adam Richman. Adam, how are you, buddy?
All right, you?
Good. Good to have you back on the program.
Thank you.
Food Fighters was where the people went up against real chefs. How did that work out most of the time? Who had the better food?
It was really, because it was judged by, you know, five citizens. I never was a part of the judging panel, but, you know, the second season, the home cooks really were impressive, and we also upped the quality, so it was about 50-50 split.
Yeah, see, that's what I think. So the average, do you think, like, some of these food guys, you've been around this for a while now, some of these chefs, some of them are, like, really fun and they like it, and some of them just become, like, pretentious pricks. Like, they think that they're so much better than the average guy, and yet they lose to average home cook people.
I mean, I think that it's a little different because, you know, part of the strategy of that show was, you know, you kind of find their weak spot.
So yeah.
You take a chef that has no pastry experience and a mom who's been making chocolate chip cookies for 20 years.
Right.
And then that chef absolutely has no frame of reference.
Yeah.
Although it's funny, though, because I saw a couple chefs that was like, I have never made this before, but here we go. And they wound up winning sometimes, and it come out with something really good.
Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, that's, you know, that's a different animal. I mean, you know, that's the sort of the Shiny Floor Network game show, you look for those moments, but that's the cool thing about doing Secret Eats now is that it's kind of the juxtaposition, right, when you're hosting and it's about the contestant versus when you're hosting and it's about the viewer, there it's like, good, no competition, just about, like, let's find the best stuff around.
Yeah, so tell me, I'll tell you, one of the things where the show darn near killed you in the first couple of seasons because they had you going out there doing all the challenges, now you're all skinny, and you're like, let's let everybody else eat all the food. Now the new show is Secret Eats with Adam Richman, which it'll premiere Monday on the Travel Channel at 10 o'clock. What is this? Now, I would imagine you go to different cities and find the, like, you go to Tampa and everybody tells you to go to Burns, but you will go to Tampa and find the place that is the local favorite, correct?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. So what we did, this is actually the second season of it, and what we did was, this first season was domestic, this one's all international.
Oh.
And it's about hidden restaurants and off-menu dishes. So it's not just about finding a place that isn't as well-known as, you know, Burns, or isn't as well-known as a Gila Sandwich Shop or Ted Peters or something like that, but it's something much more about, you know, like, the restaurants that are hidden from sight, that have a false entrance, or, you know, you have to enter through another store to get to that restaurant, or dishes where you have to have a password to order them, where you have to just know a guy who knows a guy kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he found restaurants all over the country that ranged from, you know, a restaurant hidden behind a bookcase in a youth hostel in Austin to a restaurant that is basically you walk through one restaurant and there's a door in the back that leads to a tinier, like, hidden restaurant. So then we've traveled in this season to 13 different countries and found things, you know, like a restaurant inside a gated business park, inside a gym, is this like comfort food restaurant in South Africa.
In a gym.
A restaurant in Hong Kong that you have to cut through a hardware store through the foundation of the building, through the back alley, and then there's another restaurant. It's just crazy the stuff that's out there.
What do I not know? Like, I feel like I know that they have these little speakeasy places that are around here where, but I mean, they advertise. Like, how do I go as an average Joe and find out where these secret restaurants like in Tampa are?
I mean, so like for us, as we did like research for the show, I mean, I never want to claim like I did this myself. I definitely do a ton of research, but I work with three or four people that also really pour themselves into it. We meet up, we pick a date, and we're like, okay, here are the cities. And we go everything from, you start with blogs, and then you go to like Instagram accounts. And then usually, if you've been doing this for a while, you sort of end up like having contacts in different cities. You can call and you just like, hey, where are there like hidden dishes? And everybody will blog about it, and you'll find that suddenly there's like a bar that has a hidden menu that everyone thinks that they're just drinks, but if you're in the know, you can order stuff and they just cook it in the kitchen from the restaurant that's on the other side of the block.
That's so funny.
Little things like that. It's pretty cool, and they are out there, but it takes some digging.
By the way, that's one of the things, if you've got a little bit of pull in a town, if you go to a restaurant and you ask them to make something that's not on their menu, and they're right, like, oh, we got you. That makes you feel a little powerful.
Although I'm a little concerned now that if I go into a bar and I order three drinks in a specific order, they're going to bring me out some poison blowfish or something.
No, you know what the thing is? That, like, we made it clear, like, our mandate was, don't ever, like, please, you know, this has to be something that whoever watches the show, in whatever country they watch it, that they can do it. It can't just be because I'm the meat puppet in front of camera that they'll do it for me.
Right.
It has to be done for anybody. So that was something that we would run into in the latter seasons of Man vs. Food. We're like, you know, because usually challenges have great stories behind them, but then they're like, we like your show, we wanted to have a challenge. So then, you know, and that's hardly compelling television. So we're like, all right, let's find real legitimate secrets. So sometimes there were places that, for example, in Hong Kong, just to mention them again, there's a fake stamp shop, and it has a whole false wall. You can't even find the entrance, but if you press on this one, like, stamp, like, it's like a stamp, not like a postage stamp, but rather like something you would, like, you know, stamp, like, approved.
Right.
Right.
You would hold them, like, stamps, I guess, whatever. So you press on one of them in the display case, and a whole false wall opens to just get you in the front door.
How awesome. That is so cool.
And it's a district in, like, this Chinese neighborhood where they make these traditional stamps. So it looks like every other stamp shop.
Yeah.
And it's so confusing. So you had to see a bunch of white people walking around this neighborhood in Hong Kong opening display cases and pressing on
stuff. Trying to get
the hell out of here. Get the hell out. Stop touching my stuff. Get out of here.
But, hey, by the way, I would imagine we're probably close in age. You in your late 30s, early 40s?
Yeah, I'm early 40s.
Yeah, so what a great, when you're like 60 or 50 or something, and you're like, I'm not doing this anymore, what a great way you've experienced life, to be able to travel all around the world, all around the country, secret restaurants, food challenges. I mean, you've seen it all, and you made somebody else pay for it. That works out great.
Just me, after some of those hot challenges, believe me, I paid for it.
I got to tell you, you did one literally blocks from my house. I don't even know how this restaurant got on the map because they're closed down now. It was the one you did with the Nasty Boys where you ate the hot wing challenge. And
Oh, yeah. Sure. They ate the wings in Land O'Lakes.
Yeah, and I live in Land O'Lakes, which is so weird because it's such a small town. And I've never been to that. I went there one time to that restaurant, and I watched their eyes watering, and I've seen you, and I know what you feel like when you eat too much and you're like food drunk, and it's not a good feeling. And you had to do that way too much, so I think you found the right way now. Now you're like, I'll let other people eat, and I'll go find new secret restaurants. That's the way to go.
Well, I mean, the thing with Man vs. Food Nation, the problem was, I mean, look, it's not a good problem to have, but I mean, Man vs. Food repeated so well that they aired it so much, and the whole point was that it ended up, instead of being that Man vs. Food was me exploring it, Man vs. Food Nation was me showing how that the nation had loads more and loads more people interested in it. It ended up just seeming like it's the same show, just Adam's not eating the challenges other people are.
Yeah.
And it sort of ended up getting undercut there. I think for me, I like doing Secret Eats so much more, I guess, because the challenge is not only do they eat up the entire second half of the show structure-wise, that they're polarizing. If you like the challenges, you watch. If you don't, you lose half the show.
That's true.
So here that it's, I can show four restaurants, you know, twice as many. Well, I guess technically we show three in those shows, but we weren't showing the real menu. But, you know, twice as many restaurants could benefit from the exposure. And who knows? Maybe I show the first two restaurants in Mexico City, and you're not digging what we're serving. But then all of a sudden, those second restaurants are amazing that we wouldn't have had a chance to even show them. And we're not out to find, you know, Andrew's got the bizarre food thing down, you know?
Yeah.
I'll occasionally sample a psychotic local delicacy, but I'm there to find, like, in London, there's an off-menu barbecue, like, breakfast sandwich.
Right.
That has, like, brisket or pulled pork with, like, eggs and house-made bacon and cheese and a house-made roll. And it's hysterical, and it's off-menu, and there's only 12 a day. So I'm asking the chef, I'm like, dude, why are there only 12? These are delicious. He's like, man, I run a barbecue joint. What the hell do I need eggs for? I serve a dozen sandwiches, and the eggs are done. The sandwiches are
dozen
done.
And he's out. He's out for the day. The show is called Secret Eats with Adam Richman. You can check it out Monday, 10 o'clock on the Travel Channel. Dude, it's good to talk to you, and good luck with the show.
All the best, man. Thank you.
All right, pal. There you go. Adam Richman, Secret Eats is the show. You can see it Mondays on the Food Channel. What is it? The Travel Channel. I forgot to talk to him about how fat Bert got.
Oh, yeah. He found some secret eats.
It's no secret.